relationship with God, what's your motivation for doing good things for Him? Love, right? If you're working under the law, what's your motivation? Fear. If I don't measure up, what happens? Wham! Always that way. Whenever you're working under the law, there's always that little fear in the back. If I don't do right, I get whammed. And it motivates. Satan knows that. He uses it. Fear is the biggie. Watch this. 23. For I dreaded destruction from God, and for fear of His splendor, I could not do such things. What kind of relationship is Job working under with God? Law. Law. And fear is the reason he's motivated. I don't want to get whammed, so I won't do the bad things. If I have put my trust in gold or said it is pure gold, you are my security. If I have rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortune my hands have gained, if I have regarded the sun in its radiance or the moon moving in its splendor, so that my heart was secretly enticed and my hand offered them a kiss of homage, in the idolatry, he's saying, then those who also would be sentenced, to be judged, for I would have been unfaithful to God on high. If I rejoiced at my enemy's misfortune or gloated over the trouble that came to him, he's going through a whole list of all the good things he's done, none of the bad things. He's laying all the bad things out in his mind he has not done. This sounds like a list the Pharisees would give, by the way. I have not, verse 30, I have not allowed my mouth to sin by invoking a curse against his life. If the men of my household have never said, who has not had his fill of Job's meat, but no stranger had to spend a night in the street, for my door was always open to traveler. If I had concealed my sin, as men do, by hiding my guilt in my heart, because I so feared the crowd and so dreaded the contempt of the clans, that I kept silent and would not go outside, oh, that I had someone to hear me. I sign now my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser put his indictment in writing. Surely I would wear it on my shoulder. I would put it on like a crown. I would give him an account of my every step. Like a prince, I would approach him. Job wants a fair hearing with God, saying, I am so righteous, I can run, I'll go right up to him and I'll show him my righteousness, and then it'll all be put right. If my land cries out against me and all its furrows are wet with tears, if I have devoured its yield without payment, or broken the spirit of its tenants, then let briars come up instead of wheat, and weeds instead of barley, the words of Job are ended. This man is taking on God. He thinks he's so good, and God has denied him because he's so good. He's working off the classic, I'm good, you owe me, God, syndrome. That's his real heart. It's being revealed with the suffering. His real heart is one of law. It's one of one wherein he thinks his righteousness has value before God and ought to be recognized. And he lays it out for three chapters. And we sit there waiting for the lightning bolt to fall. 3:2:1. So these three men stopped answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. God just lets us know in case we missed it. Right? He was righteous in his own eyes. So God had to crush him. And does. Hurt him bad. He thinks he's cool. He's not. How does it all come out? Well, let me tell you something here. This is extremely important. There are as many words, practically, of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament as there are in the New, if you have the eyes to see it. Do you know who the very next person to speak is in the